Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to be learning Simon Yud Beis, the 12th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The topic is preparing for tefillah, preparing for prayer. Our topic is going to go through five basic concepts. And they are to be the things that need to be done before one davens, to clean one's body, washing one's hands, praying with the community, and the involvement in community. Those are our five concepts. We're going to start with the first one. What needs to be done before tefillah, before one davens? The pasuk tells us in Sefer Amos Perek Dalet, Hikon likras Elokecha Yisrael, which in the movies is translated as prepare to meet your maker. But what Amos meant is when you prepare to meet the master of the universe, then there is a certain level of preparation that's necessary. One cannot just jump in or fall into prayer as well. What does this mean? We're going to look at six questions when it relates to this concept. The first is, how should this impact the way I dress? So one needs to be wearing clothes that are befitting to be worn in front of dignitaries. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch points out that this may depend a little bit on the norms of the time and place. And he points to the importance of a belt when it comes to this. If the custom is for people to wear belts in such a society, as when meeting dignitaries, one should wear a belt. One cannot be just so laissez-faire. What if I'm at home, not at shul? So the truth is, the same applies, because this is about being in front of Hashem, in front of the Almighty. This is not necessarily just about the place of a shul. And that would mean to say that a person should not be davening in a situation where they're wearing their pajamas, they're barefoot, they're wearing slippers, a bathrobe, shorts. These are not things which are appropriate when meeting a dignitary, and certainly not in front of meeting and spending time with the Almighty. What else should I do before prayer? So there's another mitzvah, which is to give tzedakah. You'll see some people have a little pouch of money which they keep in their tefillin or talis bag, and they will give a little bit of tzedakah before the davening as well. Why is this important? The Tehillim teaches us, David HaMelech teaches us in the 17th chapter in Tehillim, Ani betzedek echezeh ponecha. I, in righteousness, which is understood to mean charity, will see your face. Meaning, before I come to see your face, Hashem, I will give charity, like I'm about to ask charity from you. What other mitzvahs do I need to be doing before I daven? So there's another important mitzvah which a person should affirm before they start davening, and that is v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, to love other Jews like themselves. Why is this so critical? And that the Kitzur explains that this is because when there is unity, when there's harmony below in the human realm, that creates harmony above. It allows one's tefillos to reach higher. It allows us to find the bracha, Baruchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad. When we're all together, that's when we get the bracha. And therefore, it is imperative that a person takes a moment to sort of release some of the knots that have formed between different people, to loosen things up so that there's more harmony before one davens. This is also, if one looks at the beautiful tefillah of Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk before davening, it's an extensive tefillah. The paragraph which has become the most famous because of Avram Fried's song Adarabba, that paragraph reads as follows: Asatzi leinu, and save us, Hashem, mikinas ish mera'eyu, from envy, from jealousy, v'lo yale kinas odam alibeinu, v'lo kinasam alacherim, let us not envy others, other people. Adarabba, rather, let it be ten bilibeinu shenireh kol echod malas chaverinu v'lo chesronam, that we should be able to see each other's goodness, not their lackings. We should speak to each other in a way which is fitting. And no one should, God forbid, hate another. And that was his prayer before tefillah, before davening, which is exactly what the Kitzur is saying. Our second concept is a clean body. So the pasuk in Koheles, Shlomo Melech teaches us in the fourth chapter, Shmor raglocha kasher telech al beis Elokim, guard your feet before you go to the house of God. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph tells us that this refers to, what does it mean, raglecha, your feet? It's a euphemism for one's bowels and bladder. One should be careful One should take care of one's personal needs, one's bodily needs, before one enters the house of God, before one davens in front of Hashem. What does it mean practically? So this means one should try to go to the restroom before one davens or one learns. And this means to say, even if it does not rise to the level of being bal tashaktu, of holding in, which we saw is a prohibition in and of itself, a person should make sure that there's not even a smaller urge to go to the restroom before one goes to prayer as well. What if I davened already and then I realized that I was holding in something? So if one could have held it in for another, from the beginning of davening to for 72 minutes, then that prayer worked. That prayer was fitting. But if one was not able to have waited another from 72 minutes from the time of the beginning of davening, then one's amida, not the other pieces, but the amida itself needs to be repeated in such a situation. What happens if I'm going to miss davening, if I were to try to find a bathroom because there's no bathrooms around, and if I'm trying to go to the bathroom beforehand? So in this case, if one can arguably wait for 72 minutes from now till the time one needs to go to the bathroom and there's no bathrooms around, then one can daven to avoid missing the time of tefillah. What if I have an upset stomach and I don't think I'll be able to get through the Kriyas Shema and the Amidah without passing air, without passing gas? So the Ketzer says in that case, it is better not to say Kriyas Shema or daven if one knows one will have to pass gas. If one thinks one has the capacity to go for 3 minutes without passing gas, then one should quickly put on tefillin, say Kriyas Shema, and take them off. But one should not try to do the Amidah. And the Mishnah Berurah is a little more lenient when it comes to Kriyas Shema. One is allowed to try Kriyas Shema even if one knows one's not able to get through without this. Because it's not like Amidah Lifnei HaMelech, it's not standing in front of the king in the same way as the Amidah is itself. The underlying principle of this in this case is Ones Rachmana Patre. Sometimes we feel that we need to daven, but if the davening is not appropriate, then that's not an appropriate davening. In this case, it would be more appropriate not to daven than to daven in such a circumstance. Our next concept is washing one's hands before davening. That we are taught by David HaMelech in Tehillim in the 26th chapter. Erechatz b'nikayon kapay v'asavoyis mizbachacha Hashem. I'll wash in my purity my hands and I'll walk to your altar. Nishma b'kol to'adah l'saper nivkol niflosecho, to give thanksgiving, to tell your wonders. Which means to say that we need to wash our hands before we daven. Why is that I need to wash my hands before davening? Didn't I wash in the morning? We spent a whole bunch of time in the Kitzur learning about how important it is to learn to wash hands in the morning. So the answer is because things happen during the day. One scratches one's scalp. It's not just touching one's hair, but one scratches one's scalp in an area that's usually covered where it's sweaty. If one touches a place in one's body, which is usually covered, these are things which would necessitate rewashing one's hands. And because one's not focusing on one's hands all the time, then in general, by default, people, you know, do things, touch things, and therefore one should be washing one's hands before one davens as well. What happens if there is no water to be had? So the truth is, it's very hard to imagine today. Today, every basic shul has a wash station outside for this particular purpose. It's so easy to do, and it's a halacha. So it's very, very easy. It's very easy to do. However, if there is no water available, one's in a place where the water is not available, what should one be doing? So the halacha teaches, the Gemara tells us, discusses this explicitly, that one should carry on going in the direction one was traveling for meal to find water. And if one is going out of one's direction, so one's already in one's house, or it's out of the way that one would have been traveling, one should go one meal. What does that mean practically, in practical terms? What exactly does that mean? So we understand that a meal is roughly the amount, the distance of a kilometer, which is 6.7 miles. And therefore, for meal, if you do the math, would obviously be 4 kilometers as well. So what does this mean precisely? So the Isha Yisrael, quoting Rav Chaim Kanievsky, explains that it depends on how one is traveling. If one is traveling by foot, that would mean to say that one would need to walk out of one's direction, out of the way one is, 1 kilometer or 0.6 miles. If one is traveling in a specific direction and one's going that way anyway, one would have to go for 4 kilometers of distance covered. However, if one's traveling by car or by train, where the travel isn't as difficult, then it's not measured by distance, but rather the time, which would mean between 13 to 18 minutes that it would take to go out of one's way and 72 minutes in the direction one is going in order to get the water necessary. If one looks at this halacha and appreciates this, then it should be a surprise why so few people come into shul and actually wash their hands. The washing station is right outside every shul, and most people completely ignore it. But that's the reasons over there is because this is a very important halacha. We have such luxury. We just get to flip on a faucet or a tap and fill up a cup and wash one's hands. It's so easy today. This halacha used to be a lot harder to be able to do. And in our luxury, unfortunately, we've forgotten this important halacha. What happens if there simply is no water within those distances or time to take cover those distances? So in this case, one should use another cleaning agent, a Purell or a cloth if there is no water available, which is hard to imagine in today's world. And finally, is there a bracha on this washing? And the answer is no. We saw beforehand, to necessitate a bracha, you need to have two basic reasons, and we only have one of them over here in this case. Okay, let's jump further into our fourth concept. The fourth concept is praying with the community. We're told in Tehillim, that we're taught in the 69th chapter in Tehillim, I am praying to you, I am expressing prayer at a time of Ratzon, at a time of mercy. What is the time of mercy? The Kitzur explains that this is the time that the community davens as well. This is what Hashem says in Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Tes, the 49th chapter. Komar Hashem be'eis ratzon anisicha. Hashem says, I will answer you at a time of ratzon, at a time of mercy, at a time that is fitting. And that is referring to the time when the community is davening. So much so that Tehillim, in the 55th chapter, tells us that Padav Shalom Hashemi Kerovli Ki Berabim Hayu Imadi, that David HaMelech calls out to Hashem and says, please redeem me because many people are with me. Which leads us to understand that even if a person is not worthy of having a tefillah received, if they're praying with a community, then their tefillah will be received. That's a remarkable idea. We're going to look at 10 basic questions in this concept, and that is, how far should one go to find a minyan? So it's the same as washing hands. If one's traveling on foot, it's 4 kilometers in the direction one's going and 1 kilometer out of the direction one's going. If it's in a car, 72 minutes in the direction one's going and 18 minutes out of one's direction. Where is it best to daven? So it's best to daven in a shul or in a base medrash. What happens if there's no minyan in a shul or a base medrash? One should still daven in a shul or base medrash rather than a home or anywhere else because it is a holy place. What if one has a choice between a base medrash or a base knesset, a shul or a base medrash? Today, a lot of shuls have a base medrash in them, but sometimes a base medrash was a yeshiva where there was learning of Torah, and a shul is a place where people daven. What happens if one has a choice between the two? So if one is learning in the base medrash, one is actually using the base medrash for its purpose, which is learning of Torah, it would be better to learn in the and daven in the same place. But if one is not learning in the base medrash, then a shul is better because a shul usually has more people there. And the concept that we have, which is countercultural for today, is Barov Am Hadras Melech, that it is greater honor to Hashem when there are more people who are there. It is better to find a shul which has more people in it because that is a greater expression of giving honor to Hashem as well. So, and that also should differentiate. That means to say that if one has two shuls to choose from, which one is actually better? So obviously the one that has more people is better because of Barav HaMadrash Melech. But another factor that the Kitzur also points out is that all things being equal, it is better to walk further for the schar halicha, the reward of walking to that shul. Easy example of this is if one is used to davening out of convenience on one's block in a basement for Friday night davening or for Shabbos afternoon, there is a greater mitzvah to go to shul where it is a holy place, not just a home, and get the schar alecha for doing this as well. For on both those accounts would be the most appropriate thing to do. How early should one try to get to shul? So obviously one should get to shul before one starts davening, certainly in the morning for men because they need to put on tzitzis and tefillin. But more than that, the Gemara in Brachos on Dav Ches Amud Aleph tells us in the Nevi Yehoshua ben Levi that a person should always try to be among the first 10 people, 10 men to make the minyan, because then one gets one is able to get the reward of the other 10 who come after one. So one should try to be among the Asara Rishon and the 10 first the shul. Where in the shul should I sit? So it really doesn't really matter so much, but one should try to have a makom kavua, a fixed place as well. Where should that makom kavua be? So it should be near a wall, because we learn from Yechezkel HaMelech that there was a place that he had which was near the wall, which was appropriate for his davening, less distractions as well. What happens if a guest took my spot? So it would be very counterintuitive to one's prayer to kick somebody else out, a guest in shul who came earlier than one to shul. One should bear in mind that would probably do a lot of damage to one's tefillah and that person wanting to come to shul. But one should be aware of the fact that in halacha, makom kavua means to say within 4 amos, within about 7 feet of one's place. So if one has to daven before oneself, it doesn't mean leaning over and taking one's siddur from that place to make the other person feel bad. It means just finding another siddur and working out davening in a parallel location. That's totally fine as well. What happens if I'm only able to daven at home? Let's say a person is sick and they cannot get to shul. What about at home? So the same halacha applies, and that is to have a makom kavua, to have a fixed place in the house that's a quiet, serene place to be able to daven there as well. Finally, last concept that we're going to be dealing with, and that is involvement in community, which relates to everything we're dealing with over here. First is, what should be the way I get to shul? So we know that going to shul is a mitzvah, so should be one should rush to get to shul, and one should be slow on the way out of shul. This does not mean to say drive and speed to endanger others. God forbid, there's always people walking. But it means to say that if one's walking, one should walk at a faster pace when going to shul. What about when I get to shul? So one's not allowed to run in shul. One can only run to get to shul. In fact, what should I do when I actually get to the doors of the shul? The halacha is that one is not allowed to walk right in. One has to take a moment to put oneself in position to think about the awesomeness of the place, to think about the tone of what's about to be started, and then to walk in as well. Where should one put on, for a man, their talis and tefillin? So in a neighborhood which is fully Jewish, a person should put on their talis and tefillin at home and walk to shul adorned as such. In an area where this is not possible, in mixed areas where it's more complicated, in that case, a man should take the talis and tefillin and put it on in the hallway, the lobby, and walk into the shul ready and not just falling into shul, but one is in an appropriate manner entering the shul as well. What if I'm prevented from davening in shul because of circumstances beyond my control? And so in that case, it'd be best to try to find a minyan and try to daven at one's home with that minyan. However, this is only during the time that the circumstances beyond which one control actually exist. So that means that let's say a person is recovering from an operation and one is not able to leave, one is bedridden. If it's possible to create a minion, that's wonderful. But are there oftentimes that it turns into being a convenience minion, which remains afterwards? That's not appropriate. That's not a matter which is beyond one's control. And that's taking people away from Borav HaMadzro Hadras Melech, which is not appropriate in this circumstance. What if it's not possible to even make a minion? So in that case, a person should daven at home and daven at the same time the shul is davening, because that's a holy time and that's the appropriate time to align one's tefillah as well. What if I get to shul and the community is davening a little bit later than I need to? Can I daven earlier? The answer is no. One is not allowed to daven before a shul davens. That is very hard to find a situation which relates to this today, because today there are so many minyanim in shul that it's very hard to find one which is without one's not able to do this as well. If one has to daven earlier, it's best to daven at home rather than to daven in a shul before the shul is davening. What if there just isn't a shul? There isn't a shul in this locale, so the halacha is that one is allowed to force a minority of the community, can force a majority of the community to participate in funding and building a shul in the case there isn't a shul, because that's considered a communal institution, and for building a beis medrash so that the shul has the community has a place to learn and a place to daven as well. What is the reward for someone who comes to shul in the morning, involved in community at day and night, and treats the shul with respect? The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us that a person is promised to have a long life. A person who finds me and makes this place special is a person who has found life, and we should all be zoich, and we should all have the merit to see this. With this, we conclude this 12th chapter of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful